Man, it's full tilt boogie now. We're fixing to put it in the left lane and put the hammer down.
Welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney. Here, we take a look at all kinds of things.
We may tell stories, we call them side stories, welcome a friend to join us, or interview someone more widely known and ask them all kinds of questions. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we may just do a little Matt chat, discussing the current happenings of our life.
Through all of it, we hope to give you something atypical as you listen along your typical day.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome one, welcome all. It's the Atypical Podcast. Jenny, are you ready?
Yes.
We've got a new coach here at the University of Arkansas, and he's got a lot of things that he likes to say about how fast the offense is. New coach Chad Morris, and he likes to say we're going to put it in the left lane. We're going to hammer down, full tilt boogie. And Jenny, I think that's a perfect description for today's podcast.
I mean, full tilt boogie. Did he make that up?
Are you jealous?
Well, let's just go back for just a moment. And you said the offense is, how fast the offense is.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more accurate thing would be to say how fast we hope the offense will be.
That's true, Jenny. I'm going to cut us off right here because we don't agree on football. Jenny's an Alabama fan, if you didn't know that. I know. Apologies, everybody. I'm an Arkansas fan. We are in the shadow of the University of Arkansas, and yet she still refuses to support the losing team for like 8 or 9 years in a row. I don't know
why. This would be a great time to bring up that both Alabama and Arkansas are in the NCAA tournament, which is not always the case. We don't both get in. Not our, you know, some years are better than others for both of our basketball teams.
Jenny, you jumped ahead there. We are going to talk about the NCAA tournament. I've got a few things to say about it, but we are both in it. Congratulations to Alabama Crimson Tide.
Thank you.
Roll Tide roll. Until you play us and then pick Suey. Neither one of our teams, you know, if either one of our teams make it to the Sweet 16, Jenny, Alabama or Arkansas, we will throw
a
party.
It will mess up some brackets.
It'll mess up some brackets. We're going to talk about your bracket later today. So you're probably going to want to get a pad out, a pencil.
Okay. My app on my phone.
You're going to want to get something out. We're going to talk about a little bracketology. But first, Jenny, this episode is dedicated to a little something, something that we've called the spring preview. Jenny, we had to break away there. I spilled a little coffee and you
needed some mic adjustments.
You needed a little mic coaching, but we're back and we're ready for it. Jenny, I know that you have been preparing, prepping, staying up late nights to prepare for our spring preview. Now, admittedly, we didn't quite know what a spring preview was. And as typical with the podcast, we're making it up as we go.
It can be whatever we want it to be.
It can, sure can. Own that thing. Can I tell a quick story, Jenny?
Oh, no.
Am I allowed?
Sure.
Okay, great. Well, this is just to let everybody know, you know, don't take anything that I say too seriously here on the podcast, because let me introduce you to my morning. And you know I love to talk about it, but this morning I got up bright and early, played a little basketball. It's been, 6-8 months since I've played basketball, but I went on out there, prayed to Jesus on the way that I wouldn't tear my Achilles. This is probably an actual prayer of mine. But I drove that early morning road, got out, played a little basketball. Old man basketball. You need to know, there's some young guys out there, but I'm playing old man basketball. But you need to know, it's been a while. Step onto the courts. I now stretch a little longer. I pray a little more. Like, it's going
to
happen.
Well, I did. I before I went to bed, you were already asleep, and I thought, I need to tell him to stretch in the morning before
Yeah, you should have woken up at 5:30 to tell me to stretch, but you didn't, and I still stretch, and I appreciate that. But let me stay on point here. And here's the point: I scored 5 points in the first game, so that wasn't the point. But I had to get that out. Thank you. It was a great return to the courts. I was they couldn't guard me, and then I airballed it in game two and didn't shoot again the entire morning. I was like, well, I airballed it. I'm done. But none of that was the point. See how much I love the game of basketball? We got NCAA March Madness. We got Matt heading back to the courts, scoring a three-pointer right over Sean Schwartzman. It was a thing of beauty. Nothing but net, I like to say. You know?
Until the airball, but that one.
I'm living in the five-point first game comeback. But it's kind of like when Michael Jordan came back to the Wizards, you know? I mean, it's still pretty good. However, we had this, as happens in old man basketball, Jenny, there was a little debate, a little friendly banter about a call. Now, old men, they get into these things.
Well, and you.
And I'm usually a little too winded out there to give a rip. I'm like, y'all can fight about it. I'm too tired. I'm just trying to breathe. However, this morning, you know, after my 5 points, I was feeling pretty good. And someone dribbled it off the foot, okay, which in basketball, it's a whistle. The referee would call that what, Jenny? It's a kick. We call it a kick. Okay. You can't kick the ball. And so there became a little debate on if it's intentional or if it's unintentional matters, to which I very loudly proclaimed, it does not matter the intent. That has nothing to do with anything. And it went on from there. I pled my case. I won. We got the ball. Blah, 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 blah. I get in the car and I go away, Google that thing. I was completely wrong. Just completely wrong. I was totally wrong. If it's got to be an intentional kick to whistle it. And so,
how passionate were you in the discussion that you were wrong on?
Well, let me tell you a quote that Sean Schwartzman, come up twice now. Sean Schwartzman said, really? Really? That's what you're going to say about it? I said, that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. Well, that was a quote of mine when they were right is the problem. And so all of that, longest basketball story ever. Let's back up. I scored 5 points. Just making sure everybody remembers that.
I don't know. How many, do we need to say that you scored 5 points five times?
I think we're about on four, but okay. Longest story ever to say, hey guys, don't take me too seriously here. You never know. I might not know the rule. We're gonna hit
you
record.
Might be wrong.
We're gonna hit record. We're gonna go full tilt boogie. Here we go. Spring preview, Jenny. I believe you have some things to prepare the atypicals out there for the upcoming season.
Well, I don't have extended knowledge on things, but I do like to know when things are coming.
Way to undermine yourself before you even start.
I don't spend the time that I used to.
Fair enough.
Would have spent checking certain things or trying to figure out. There was a time in my life where I designed jewelry and had a small business, and I could always tell you like the trends that were coming because I would design based on what things were coming. What kind of clothing would be in the stores would drive the design, and I always kind of knew way ahead of time. That's no longer the case. I also spent a lot more time with television. I still have a desire to spend that amount of time with television. I just don't do it.
I pine for the days that I can watch hours of Gilmore Girls.
Yes. Do y'all remember Gilmore Girls? Blessings.
They just made a comeback.
Well, that was like a year and a half ago now. So they did, and it was a marvelous four episodes.
Yeah, it was.
Based on fall, spring, summer.
Okay, so now that we know all the information you're going to give us is useless, let's go to the information that you're giving us.
So I'm going to start with television because I don't have as much. But one thing that released, the opening episode, what is that
pilot,
called?
The pilot episode?
The pilot episode came out last night for a show on NBC called Rise. Now look,
that we watched
so
together.
So the build up to Rise is that... you know, there's sort of like a formula for some things in television that go really well. High school, for some reason, is usually...
Friday Night Lights.
You know, you can go all the way back to Saved by the Bell, High School Musical, which are kind of corny, but like still killed it.
Zach, he was the man.
Friday Night Lights. I mean, all these things.
Can we talk about Saved by the Bell for just a second? I know I'm cutting in on you there.
It's fine. I love Saved by the Bell.
Do you remember the cell phone that Zach Morris carried around?
Everyone remembers the cell phone.
I mean, we almost brought in, we meant to bring in our token millennial hipster. She would not remember. We have listeners who have no idea the size of the cell phone that Zach Morris would carry around Bayside. It was the size of a cinder block with an antenna. It took two hands to carry
more
it around.
More importantly than that, Slater's pants.
Oh, Slater's
pants. They were pleated denim.
Guys, we will find a picture of both of these. Let's say you're a young college, a millennial, or they're even getting younger than that now. I can't even keep up. They just keep getting younger. But let's say you've never seen it. You know, you can go to theatypicallife.com. We'll share a little picture in the show notes and links of the Zach Morris cell phone.
Most memorable Saved by the Bell episode, Matt?
It was the one where Jesse...
Yep, I knew you were going to say that. I think everyone's
there's
answer
a
that.
There's a GIF, and it's in like the top 10 GIFs that you can choose on your phone. And she says, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so... scared.
Yet she was having some substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
At that
which
time.
Is not funny, but the episode was funny.
It's not funny. And you know, for such a corny show, they really at some point decided to start bringing in some more serious topics.
It's called jumping the shark in the biz. But Jenny, continue on with what you were talking about. I sidetracked us. I apologize.
I love the sidetrack.
No, I know. Cinder block cell phones.
It's atypical of us.
Yeah, we just jump on it.
Okay. So the show on NBC that came out last night is called Rise. There was a lot of build up to it because there were the producers of Parenthood and Friday Night Lights,
there were a lot of name dropping in the commercial of like the writers for the show you loved, the producers of another show.
Well,
you
here
loved.
Are three names that they said, you know, our people on Rise are connected with these things. Friday Night Lights.
Boom.
I mean, amazing.
I'm watching.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Can't lose.
Parenthood. I mean, do we all still grieve the loss of Parenthood?
Not,
it was so
let
magical.
Let me tell you what I grieve when I hear Parenthood. And you better get ready for a Matt rant. And that's that I've never seen Parenthood because you went ahead and watched it without me and I never got to catch up. So you can apologize now to everybody. Go ahead.
I would just like to not apologize and to say that I probably started it when you were like traveling internationally for 10 days.
You know, hey, I'm proud of you for that non-apology. Good job. Way to stick up for yourself.
And the third one that they always drop was Hamilton. Hello. Who doesn't want to watch some TV that has something to do with Hamilton?
Alexander
All of us.
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, goodness. Okay, no.
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, did you say Alexander?
That's the way we do it on Broadway to accentuate the Alexander. Alexander Hamilton.
That was terrible. So here are all these names, and I'm like I put it on my account. I'm this person.
No,
I get
you
a
were,
sponsored
Jenny.
Ad in my Instagram, and I'm like, oh,
which by
I'm
the way,
all in.
Which by the way, I did not get a sponsored ad in my Instagram, which tells you they have figured us out.
They have figured it out. So I'm like, oh, I mark it down. I mean, I take note of the day
it's
that
in the
it's
bullet
gonna
journal.
Be. I know that it's Hazel's last basketball game, but we'll get home in time kids to bed.
Can I talk at some? When you get excited, I know it's hard, but this is the way it went down in the Mooney household. The kids usually go to bed around 8:30. We like to say, but there's all the back and forth, the banter. I need water. Wah wah. I need more hugs. Which. We actually appreciate that. But, you know, it's just a ploy to stay up. And then always, 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 Hazel has a lot of questions about Jesus when it's time to go to bed, which we love. Great strategy. We're always going to answer those. However, the point being, at 8:20, and the Arkansas Razorbacks are playing the Texas Longhorns in baseball. And I'm watching it. And I watch baseball if it's on. It's not basketball or football, but I'm watching it. We're beating the Texas Longhorns. Let me just repeat. We're beating the Texas Longhorns, which is just great. I love that. But outside of that, at 8:20, Jenny looks at me very serious. Like, I think, okay, what's wrong with the kids? And she says, the show that I'm wanting to watch comes on at 9 and I am watching it. She actually says, we have one TV and I'm watching it on the TV.
And I have to say that because when we were...
Because she wants more TVs.
This is the best. See, these are the best kind of Matt chats. So we just kind of go all over. When we were renovating the house, doing the rent-a-build, I wanted three TVs. I wanted TVs in every room because I thought if somebody's watching something else, I can watch it over here.
Yeah, and our house
all
is not big enough.
It's
like,
not.
You would have the sound. They're all in the same space.
You literally would have been able to see and hear all three TVs at once with my plan.
Actually, this is the only thing, Jenny, I would literally say the only thing where the stamp of Matt is on. On our house
it's
of
true.
Like, no, we're not going to have
I
seven
had
TVs.
Lots of things and Matt went with it. And he said the one thing was one TV. So it's like, okay, one TV. And so that's the backdrop of like, we have our one TV and
boy,
I call it at 9 o'clock.
She looks at me and says, as though I'm going to regret it. Because here's the truth. I don't care that she wants to watch her show. I don't care about TV. But she looks me dead in the eyes and says, hey, on our one TV, I'm watching my show.
I'm watching this new show.
And Jenny, we put the kids, I like to say we put the women and children to bed, but actually we didn't. We let the woman stay up, which is you.
It's a terrible phrase. I can't pretend that that's an okay thing to say. Anyway.
I mean, I'm woke. I was just kidding. I'm woke. But it's 2000, what is it? 18. I'm there, man.
Okay.
I'm for the women. But we put the women and children to bed. I let the woman come back out and sit on the couch with me. And I let her watch whatever she wanted to on the one TV at 9 o'clock that she wanted to watch. So I don't even know. I don't even know what's coming on. I don't know anything about it. But can you give us a quick synopsis? We cuddled up on the couch to watch this show. I want this to move a little bit quicker than it is, Jen. Okay. That's Coach Matt.
That's your job.
That's podcast Coach Matt.
So,
but I want us to get there.
The premise is this high school. It's in a town that has seen better days. And so they're all like strapped for budget and all that kind of stuff. And different high school kids are going through all these different things. And what draws them together is this like theater department and a new teacher kind of jumping in and helping the old theater head, and they kind of joined together. And anyway, that's the idea. And you've kind of seen that on all the like, honestly, preview shows, kids dancing and
we're
singing.
We're kind of hiding the.
I'm getting there.
Okay. Well, just and let so, me, let me.
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. So then we're watching, and I mean, I'm watching really intently. And by like three quarters of the way in, it's
there wasn't that far in.
Where I looked at Matt, and we both, Matt said cheesy, and I said corny. We go, it's kind of corny. And Matt said, oh, kind of cheap. Like, we literally said it at the same time. But I mean, I'm not writing it off completely because I don't do that with shows. It's just the pilot. Maybe they're just getting you kind of into it.
Jenny,
it's lots of good dancing and singing.
Jenny, let's talk about it.
It did not live up to the hype. The
Jenny,
pilot episode did not.
It was not good. It was, y'all, it was just flat out not good. This show will not be on in 2 months. Maybe they surprised me. And here's the thing. Like, I wanted it to be good for you, as your husband, as someone planning this, putting it in their bullet journal. I wanted the show to be good. So anyway, our spring preview starts off with, we had prepared this before last night, but Rise was on it, and we're not sure it's on it anymore.
So if you have thoughts, if you saw it and you have thoughts on it, or you have, you know, any kind of predictions for where it's going to go, send us, you know, get in touch with me, Jenny Mooney, or Matthew Lyle Mooney on Instagram. Give us a message and tell me what you think about Rise.
Let us know what you're thinking about it.
Maybe
if you watched it and you liked it, I would love to hear from you.
Yeah, maybe we're wrong.
If you watched it and you liked it, I can't imagine you're in a group of over 10 people.
But let me just say, I'm not going to judge it by the first episode.
I did.
I'm going to give it a few more, see where it goes.
Let me just say, cuddling on the couch to watch Rise with you is over.
No,
days are over.
Well,
I will now go
over,
read a book.
It was over a few minutes in. You were on the Twitter.
Oh, five
you
minutes in, I was like,
other
oh,
things.
This is not Parenthood. This is not Friday. Like, I like those shows. Like, even though TV watching is not my racket, it's not my thing. I mean, I'll watch a show with you, a good show, that I'm like, well, it's a good story. It's good storytelling. I'm into it. I care. Rise. Moving on. Book time.
I'm going to go to...
I mean, Rise will be a time for me to read a book.
Oh,
we are
going to
talk about books later.
Talk about books in the spring.
I know,
it's
so confusing.
Okay.
Keep going, Jenny.
So the next thing I want to bring up for spring preview is clothing and fashion. Some of you listening to this all of a sudden want to turn it off. I'll go really fast and we'll get to other things.
No, Jenny, because I'm here for those who are not into fashion. I'm going to ask questions along the way and give commentary along the way.
Here's the thing that you need to know about fashion and trends.
Jenny, let's
pause. Remember...
What are you wearing today?
No.
Let's talk. You look very beautiful.
No,
I would say.
Okay.
Love you.
Keep
smoothie.
Moving on. Okay. If you'll remember, there was like a romper for males called Romp'em, and we were trying to get if we said if we could raise like what did we say $10,000
no,
in a
we,
month
we didn't
or something?
Say I said you would have to raise $10,000 for 99 balloons before I would put one on
like within a set amount of time,
and
you know?
You started that campaign
and I was like
hour.
Let's do it, and
how much
nobody
did you raise?
None
oh.
Nobody cared to see you in a rompum, but I thought it would have been fabulous.
I think a better campaign would be if I said on this date I'm gonna put a rompum on, you can raise $10,000 to not see me in
oh
a
there
rompum.
You go I
that
think
would
we
be
probably
a much better fundraiser
now. So now I mean nobody even remembers the rompum. Like, who cares, right? So trends just come in and out. Here's a trend for spring.
It was never a trend, but keep going.
Here's a trend for spring that I think will be in and out, and that is that everywhere you'll see these, like, parkas and rain jackets. Like, everything's kind of plasticky. It's
and we were watching
weird.
An award show. It was iHeartRadio's Music
yes.
Awards. And you explained this to me. See,
I did
I'm here for commentary.
Because... Oh, go ahead.
Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Chance the Rapper was on, and I was like, Jenny, he's wearing, which Chance the Rapper, I mean, I assume whatever he's doing is leagues cooler than what I'm, than my striped shirt from the Gap. Possibly. He's,
I mean,
he's
maybe,
got his own
maybe,
hat.
I don't know.
He's got a hat with a three on it. I'm not even sure what that means. I like to say it means the Trinity, just because I want Chance to, you know, to be promoting things that I love, like the Trinity, but I'm not sure that that's true. However, he's got his own hat line, Mr. Cool, Chance, and I look at you, and I'm like, he's wearing a Perry Ellis slick jacket.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, that's the thing.
That's, yeah. So you're going to see all different types of parkas, rain jackets. You may see like a coat that is made to look like a, not a coat, like a light spring jacket that's made to look like a parka. I'm real curious how this is going to like play out at like Target or, you know,
now,
like
you're in, you're as opposed to me, you're kind of in, like, I try to stay, you know, just a little bit behind the curve. I'm good with that. And the older I get, the further back. But you kind of like to be up on the trends. You like to be, so will you wear a parka?
No, well, that brings up a really good point. And I feel like that's something I need to say to the atypicalers. Just because there are trends out there, it doesn't mean you need to do them. I feel very strongly about that. For instance, now, our friend Jenny Beth tells a story. We'd love to have her on sometime to tell this story. She tells a story of overalls that are cut like skinny jeans, and she thought it was a great idea, and she tells the story.
How long ago was this?
Home and tried them on. I think it's probably 3 years ago.
Well, first of all, never get anything home. You got to try it on before you get it home.
That's the whole part of the comedy of it. So
yeah, that's why I don't buy
trends
things online.
Trends don't mean you have to do them. So That's what you need to know about that. But you'll see that. You'll see checks, like sort of like a gingham pattern, but just type of little checked things. I like that. That's been around for a little while, but I think you're going to see it a little bit more in the spring.
Let's say somebody doesn't know what gingham is.
It's like tiny plaid.
Okay.
That's just two colors.
Okay.
It's a print. Yeah.
I actually kind of do. I just feel like I got to represent my side of the equation.
Yeah.
The not so hipsters.
Yeah.
The not so fashionably conscious. Now, Jenny, wait. I want to go back because you just say some things like you have a pretty good style. You say some things like, and you like to be up on the styles, and you say things like, not every style is for you. Now, that's easy for you to say, Miss Cool, but how does somebody say, oh, that's a fashion trend that I'm going to jump on. That's appropriate for me to do. Like, I'm wearing a parka tonight. Or they say, like, you know what? That one's probably not for me. I'm, you know, like it's like Uggs. Like, we like to talk about Uggs. You know, that was one that I just felt solidly that nobody should jump on, but people did. But just, I'm trying to give some examples here. How does somebody have a decision matrix for, you know, as these fashion trends change? We're given our spring preview. Should they be wearing gingham? Should they be wearing a parka?
Well,
you just say so easily, not everyone is for you. But you are someone who thinks that some are for you. Like, you should be doing.
I have opinions.
I know you do. Come on, bring it.
I think
speak
that
to
the
men
thing
and
that,
women.
I think
men and
that, women. I think this goes for men and women. The thing that you should look at first is fit. You should see how the clothing fits your body style first. And then if you find those elements that are trendy and you want to layer that on or you want that to be a part, that's great. You don't go buy, for instance, there's something you're seeing a lot of like asymmetrical things where it's like off the shoulder or like the skirt diagonal. Like I have very rarely seen anything asymmetrical that looks okay on me. So I just like get rid of it. Like try it on once or twice. It doesn't work.
Like a cold shoulder type thing.
Cold shoulder or
like
even like the line of the shirt, like the bottom hem of a shirt can be asymmetrical. Never works with me. I don't like the way
it
looks.
But it does work for other people.
I think it works for other people.
So how does somebody know whether it's working for them? See, this is hard.
You can just ask me. Text me a picture.
Jenny will be happy to help. You'll get a quick, Listen, we have just started something. If you will Instagram, we don't want to give her phone number out, but we don't even have to know you, okay? You're listening and you need some fashion help. Take a picture of yourself on Instagram. As long as Jenny just has to respond, you can send it to her. She will respond yes or no. That's it. You'll get back a response. We promise you. Do
it. I also think a very important topic in this category is your age. That's it. I mean, think about it. If you are 30s creeping into 40s,
creeping,
you should probably not shop at Forever 21. Now, I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying there's a rare occurrence that you would find something.
See, I don't even know why. See, I don't think I've ever stepped foot in Forever 21.
They will have I'm telling you, they're going to have all the parkas. That would be my guess.
Oh, they're going to have parkas.
I think
I could rock a parka, Jen. I mean, that's not something I go totally inappropriate.
No,
I just go,
at all.
I don't know that I want to rock. Like, I feel like I'd be hot.
Well, and that's also a problem I have with spring fashion, okay, is that it shows lots of layers or pants and all that. But where we are, once it turns warm, you don't want pants and coats anymore.
Yeah, it's one or the other here. It's either hot or cold. We don't do too much in the middle.
So the last thing I'll say that we'll see a lot of is bright colors, and you won't see me doing that. I mean, I don't wear a lot of color. I got a pink sweater. It was a big, big deal. It was a very pale pink sweater, and I actually wear it. But other than that, I kind of look like I'm going to a funeral.
But that's one that I think anybody
can do.
If that appeals to you, get out there and wear a hot color.
Yeah.
I've
pastels
got some orange,
or
I've got
bright
some orange
colors
on my shoes, Jen.
Yeah, you like bright colors.
I like that on my shoes.
You like it on your shoes.
Or a hat. I don't wear too much lime green shirt.
So that's all I got for you. If you have more questions for me, or you need help deciphering trends, then let me know.
Remember, you've got to help in Jenny Mooney. You can send her a picture on Instagram. You will get back a reply of yes or no. We're here for you. That concludes our fashion preview as we move on into other parts of our spring preview. Jenny, one thing that is super pertinent to today is... we have one more day to get in your bracket. And
so have to be done by...
the games start tomorrow at a certain time. I don't know, maybe noon. So, don't know when you're listening to this podcast, but we're very close to the NCAA tournament kicking off, and we are picking our brackets. Jenny, I had some fun facts on bracketology. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready. This is exciting. We love March Madness in our house. I realize some people don't get into it. Anders, of course, Mr. Sporty Pants, just loves all of it.
But
anything.
Let me give you, if you're not into it or you think you're not into it, I would encourage you to fill out a bracket, because what filling out a bracket does, it makes you care about every game. That's what's fun about March Madness to me is these two teams, I don't really know much about them, but I picked that one. So now I'm in.
So I've started to have... Anders picked out his bracket, Hazel did her bracket, and then I started to do a bracket with Lena. And what I do with Lena is I will say out loud the two teams and lift up one hand and the other hand, and she gets to pick the hand. And she was really engaging with it. You know, I tried to tell her these are basketball teams. She likes to watch basketball on the TV. She's really familiar with that. It's hard with her... with how she expresses herself, to know what she understands and doesn't. But we got through.
Lena is our nonverbal kiddo with autism. And so when you see her bracket picks, you might wonder how she made them. You can actually go to Jenny's Instagram and see her making her picks, which is really fun.
I'll try to highlight that story so it doesn't go away. But
so if you, like Lena, could care less about picking your bracket, we encourage you to do it just like she did. But here's some fun facts. Did you know, Jenny, there's quite a bit of money wagered on March Madness? It's off the books. These winnings are not, you're not paying taxes on these things. Kind of under the table, illegal. Did you know?
Kind of illegal.
24 million people wagered on March Madness last year to the tune of $2.6 billion.
I mean, these are kids. I get it, but I'm like, oh gosh, they're just kids.
We don't. They're just kids. Nobody cares that they're just kids. It's an office pool where I put in fifty bucks and I can win $500. It isn't about kids or not kids. My goodness, I felt like I was getting in trouble from my mom there.
Well, when you say the big numbers, it just feels real But you're just saying it's collective with lots of little things.
These are unbelievably staggering numbers. We are all in some pool where we're paying $10, $20 to get in, and the winner gets $100. There's a computer scientist that has developed a logarithm which is twice as likely to pick upsets, only on certain seeds. But the computer can pick upsets two times better than if someone picks or at random. Found that interesting. Here's my last stat, and by far the most interesting one. Are you ready for it, Jenny?
I'm ready. I'm so excited.
I want you to admit whether you've done this or not.
Oh, no.
You haven't, because this would be if you have a work job where you have to be kind of like present. USA Today reports 1/5 of folks, that's 1 out of 5, one out of five, 20% if you're into the numbers, 1 out of 5 folks admitted to sneaking off to the bathroom to catch some action in a game. That would be, so watch, if you're in an office, if you're working, all right, if you know the game times, if you're not into March Madness, just start watching, you know, kind of when games are starting to get to the end, your little friends who did fill out a bracket and did put some money on it, they're going to the potty.
Oh,
and in
gosh,
the potty, they're,
that's hysterical.
They're 1 out of 5. That would be 20%. So I wanted to walk you through, Jenny, just some pitfalls of picking your brackets that I've learned the hard way.
Okay, this is good because I've done my bracket, but
who won?
I need to go back and edit some things and look a little closer. Like I just did it. Like sometimes I'll say I'm gonna like do a little research and go back, and then I forget to fill it out. And so I didn't want that to happen.
No.
But I'm gonna go make some edits so you can help me with my edits.
So Jenny, who won in your bracket overall?
Xavier.
Okay. We'll be watching that. I fill out my bracket today, so I can't comment on what I've picked. I'm filling it out today. I've got a little time there slotted for me to fill out a bracket. It's gonna
you
be exciting.
You do? When exactly?
It's gonna be unbelievable.
You don't have any time.
I'm gonna do it. You watch me. I will do it. And so this is what I've learned from picking a bracket. Now, you need to know, like, pretty much if you know anything about college basketball, you're probably not as good at picking a bracket as people who know nothing.
Yeah.
Now, that's just something you got to accept. It's true. Last year in our community group, we have folks who love, men who love it, follow it, watch it, are into it. The least likely person to go or watch a basketball game won it all.
That's right. And we got last. And we're real into it. And we were supposed to give them babysitting.
Yeah, the winner.
And we didn't do it.
So we did not put money in. We will do it. And we put it on Jenny to schedule so it never happened. But if you win, you get babysitting. And if you lose, if you're the last, you have to babysit.
Which I'm more confident now that when you said that comment, I could take it a little bit better because I was reminded of the Enneagram yesterday. It's a very non thing to have a difficult time following through with things. So
that's good, Jen.
That's why we didn't babysit.
We love you. We love you. Sorry, Halls. Good job winning. And so these are the pitfalls of picking a bracket. As you pick a bracket, these are the things I've learned for myself, some traps to avoid. Number one, what I call alumni loyalty. You will pick your team to go way too far. Okay? That's a trap. Try to be as objective. When I look at the Razorbacks, I want them in the Final Four. However, nothing tells me that they'll get there. That'll kill you every time. That'll kill you. Jenny, you are a total alumni loyalty problem.
Well, and I'm also like they're just teams I just, for whatever reason, don't like. And so I'll find myself just like not even knowing the other school, but just picking that school, even they're like a 13 seed or something, just because I don't like that school. And then once I get to the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, it messes me all up. So I got to go back and remember, like, just because you don't like these people. These people.
What team do you not like? What team do you not like? Who do you just go, I don't want to write their name in.
I don't know that I want to.
Auburn?
Typicals. Auburn, I'm like, ooh, of course.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? And then
ooh.
Kentucky
ooh.
Made seven of their seven, three. One player made 7 of 7 of his three-pointers ooh. Against Alabama in the SEC tournament. And I'm like, you're never going to do that again.
Okay, number two tip to avoid when you're filling out your bracket, traps to avoid here, taking notes, get your pen out, what I call rolling the dice. Outside of round one, if you're doing something that keeps your points and you're trying to pick the upsets, that's why your friends who know nothing beat you every year, because they're just picking the higher seed. And so when you try to pick the upsets, what happens is you get that one wrong and you get the upset wrong. But your friends who pick the highest seed, they only got the random upset wrong. Jenny, are you following?
Mm-hmm.
I need you to follow this because I need you to win this year for the Moonies.
No, I'm aware of all these things already.
All right. Rolling the dice. Don't do it. And then, just lastly, but leastly, have fun out there, guys. Fill out your bracket. Don't fall into the alumni loyalty. Don't fall in to rolling the dice. But even if you don't care about it, I encourage you, fill out a bracket before it starts. It'll make it more fun for you. Jenny, my part of the preview had to do a little bit with books. And that seemed like such a good idea because I am interested in books. However,
it's always, you can never narrow it down.
We should never have thought this was going to work. I literally looked at my list and was like, oh, way too long. And so these are not books that I've read. These are books that are coming out, being released, and I just tried to pick some interesting ones. And admittedly, this list is a little long. We will have a list on theatypicallife.com where show notes and links there for you. So don't get worried if we go too fast. But there are a few things I wanted to point out in our book list. Jenny, I need you for commentary and questions along the way.
Okay.
If you have any. Now, I read mostly nonfiction. I'll throw in a little bit of fiction every once in a while. I read a lot of Christian dead people. And so I don't know that I'm your best list giver for new forthcoming books from alive authors, but here we go nonetheless. There's a Southern Living list out there that I'll link to that was pretty good. And then there was a Publisher's Weekly Most Anticipated Books of 2018, which I found interesting. So there's a book coming out. I just picked the interesting ones. Hadn't read them. Again, in this kind of department, it's not my department, but Bill Clinton and James Patterson. So James Patterson is kind of a thriller book writer.
Okay.
So this duo has teamed up on a book called The President is Missing. All right? So they've teamed up
on
fiction. It's fiction. It's no, he's missing and he's writing a book about it.
It very well could have been about the current presidency. I'm just saying.
The President is Missing as James Patterson and Bill Clinton team up on a thriller about a U.S. president that vanishes. I will not read that book. I promise you I won't. But I just found it. That's interesting. The ex-president has got a fiction book coming out where he's teamed up with a thriller author. Okay, there's a book that caught my attention. Again, can't give my recommendation, don't know much about it, called The Merry Spinster by Mallory Ortberg. This is a satirical, twisted variations on popular fairy tales and children's books. That sounded interesting to me. It's called The Merry Spinster. Any questions, Jen?
No, but that one, that would be interesting.
Could
be. You know, you take stories that everybody's super familiar with and you switch them up a little.
Yeah, it could be super duper weird. And that's what I couldn't quite determine. Like, oh, that might be real strange. You know, the sci-fi fiction side, they can go a little too far sometimes.
Yeah.
So I can't vouch for that one. But there's a book that is out. I believe it came out in January, a memoir by Rose McGowan called Brave, which details the work of her activist as she is determined to expose the truth about Hollywood. So I thought that sounded a little bit interesting in the light of the Me Too movement and all the play that was getting. I'll hit the other books before we get to the Jesus, more Jesus-y books. James Comey, the former FBI director, is coming out with a book. That could get interesting. And then a book I thought, that's timely. And I don't know how to pronounce this woman's name. She's a Yale Law School professor, Amy Chua, C-H-U-A, Chua? There's some better way to say that. The book is called Political Tribes, Group Instincts, and the Fate of Nations. So she is the one, if you'll remember, she wrote the battle hymn of the Tiger Mother. You know, Jenny, I would say that's pretty much a memoir on you.
I don't remember.
Yeah, Jenny, if there's anything, you're more like a kitten mother than a tiger mother, would you say? Or a puppy dog mother?
No, I'm all of the above, depending on what's needed.
Yeah, you're a tiger.
Yeah.
Roar. And so this looks at the role of tribalism in politics, society, in and outside the United States, political tribes. I thought that interesting timing. We are more separated politically, kind of on each ends. Everybody knows what they think. Political tribes. Interesting book. That's one on the list, probably the only one on that list that I thought, I might actually read that. On the more Jesus-y side, there's a book from Suzanne Stabile. Jenny, we interviewed Suzanne.
Woo-hoo!
If you'll remember, she and was a co-author with Ian Crone on a book in about the Enneagram. What's the name of the book?
The first one?
Yes.
The Road Back to You?
The Road Back to You. And you, Jenny, yesterday were part of a panel.
My love for the Enneagram was just revived yesterday.
You were a part of a panel on the Enneagram where you were asked to be part of a panel for a group of nines, which is your number on the Enneagram, and you loved it.
I loved every second of it. It's such a safe place to, everybody's, like, you were there to talk about the Enneagram. And so many places in my life, if I bring it up, people are like, ugh.
Oh, the Enneagram.
To talk about that again, but this place, it was the whole hour and a half was just for Enneagram discussion.
That's great.
Amazing.
And you, so you were on a panel of nines, and you got to kind of take some Q&A. And this was a group that is studying it over a period of time, but they're right. bringing in a panel for each number. Is that right?
That's correct.
So you and some friends of ours were on a panel, and you thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm just proud of you for going and talking in front of people. Not something you love to do, even though you do this here podcast. Not always your favorite thing.
Not always my favorite thing. But Suzanne's coming out with a new book, and I am really excited about it.
And this book is called The Path Between Us. This is a book that I will read. We actually hope to interview her again on this book. It's about the Enneagram in light of relationships, so The Path Between Us. So the Enneagram is you look at your spouse or you look at your relationship. An author named Diana Butler Bass, she was at the writers conference that I went to at Princeton not too long ago. She has a new book coming out in the spring called Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. So this is basically like Anne Voskamp's book, her original book, for the more liberal crowd is what I kind of think.
Really? What makes you think that? Just because you know what kind of writer she is?
I mean, she is definitely...
I mean, I know it's a similar topic, but what makes you say...
She's definitely a little more in that would be her audience.
Okay.
I say that in no negative way. Really enjoyed her, really appreciated her takes. It just sounded to me like, man, that was a really good selling book that Anne wrote on gratefulness not too long ago. So anyway, maybe it's going to be great. Diana Butler Bass, Grateful, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks.
Okay.
We've got Rachel Held Evans. Rachel Held Evans is an author coming out with a book called Inspired: Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again. And so if you know Rachel, or if you've followed her at all, know her via her writing, she's somebody who kind of struggled. She came from more of a traditional background, maybe more, she would say, of a fundamentalist background, Christian background. And she kind of came out of that. And I think for a while, I don't want to put words into her story for her, but I think she kind of more walked away from faith. And now she has returned to faith. She's Episcopal, but she talks her last book was kind of returning to faith and finding beauty in the church. So this is finding beauty in the Bible and kind of a renewed love of Scripture as she sees it in a different way than she did when her faith began. So I find that really interesting.
Yeah.
She's a very interesting Twitter follow. If you do the Twitter, I'm kind of a quitter on the Twitter, but I've been kind of back on the Twitter train, Jen.
I'm always surprised that you're a quitter of the Twitter because you traffic in words. Like I would think that you...
But I traffic in words and opinions, and that's why Twitter's dangerous for me. I'll put something out there real fast to be like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Whereas if I take a picture of my family on Instagram, I always think I should have taken that.
Why does the 8 in you care?
Oh, because everybody out there gets their feelings hurt. You know this about me. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't to find joy in stirring up, fighting, and making you doubt your salvation. It's just who I am. I can't help it. I also don't lose sleep about it either, but maybe I just shouldn't be on Twitter. So I'm back a little bit on the Twitter train, maybe back with a little 40-year-old wisdom now that I've returned at 40.
Okay.
Jenny, another book I'm excited about, Everybody Always by Bob Goff.
Now, I love Bob.
Who doesn't love Bob?
He's so fun. And his Love Does book was just really fun to read and made you think at the same time. And those are two things that don't always happen at the same time.
You know what I love about Bob and what we try to do a little bit here on this podcast? You know, he has a wide appeal. You don't have to agree with him on everything. That's not what he's after. He kind of tries to major on the major things. And so continuing in that line, Everybody Always, the subscript is Becoming Love in a World Full of Setbacks and Difficult People. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Bob Goff, Everybody Always. Now, remember I said my list got long?
I mean, are we still going?
I'll go fast.
Oh,
here we go.
My goodness.
Walter Brueggemann has a book coming out called A Gospel of Hope. Walter is a theologian. Good thinker. Richard Rohr has a book coming out called Essential Teachings, which I think will actually be a good book for folks to pick up if they're not quite introduced to Richard Rohr, because you can get into Richard Rohr and some of his books are better than others. He's definitely one of those guys where it's like, man, that quote is amazing and that book was not. And then some of his writing is great. And I totally admire the guy. That's true of most authors, not being negative there on Richard Rohr. But I think a book kind of consolidating his essential teachings will be good. There's a book coming out called Becoming Dallas Willard. Which is a book that I'll look into, a story of his life. And then there's a book by someone we've followed, known of, called The Very Worst Missionary, Jamie Wright. So Jamie is kind of a raw person who talks about being the worst missionary.
It's a female, right?
Yes, yeah. Jamie is a female.
Yeah.
They were just recently on a podcast. I believe the podcast is called The Failed Missionary. So it's episode one of The Failed Missionary. It's explicit. There's some language in there. Some friends and people that we like are on there, and they're very honest, very raw about the realities of sending people into the mission field completely unequipped and how we kind of glorify that. And I found it very interesting. Don't know that, you know, if your ears are hurt by curse words, don't pick that one up. But so, hey, it's a long list. We'll have it on the show notes of theatypicallife.com. That's the books that I'm looking forward to. But really, the reality of books is I always find ones that I wasn't even aware of. And so the main one on that list, though, if you're just looking for one, I'd really pick up the Suzanne Stabile book. I'm excited about that, or Bob Goff. I think both of those will be safe, great bets. That's about all we got on the spring preview. Thank you for listening in on that. We meandered. We got a little distracted. We went with it. But we hope that you enjoyed it. As always, we will have show notes and links at theatypicallife.com. And as always, we love you. Have a good week. You're wearing
overalls. If you remember last year, we were trying to get a campaign going.
Yeah, we were.
To get Matt to wear a rompum. Does anybody remember this?
Oh,
man. If you are an atypicaler and you listen to the podcast for a while, we talked about a rompum. It's like a romper for men. Romp him is how it's...
That sounds so wrong.
Please edit that.
I probably will.
I was just trying to explain how it's spelled, and now I want to die.